Good morning, 7:38 here on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. I'm Andrew McKay. It's a Pensacola Morning News. Joining us now, we have Representative Matt Gaetz, our U.S. Congressman for District 1, Northwest Florida. Matt, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Thanks for having me, Andrew.
Absolutely. Always welcome. It's been a couple of weeks since we last talked. We have a lot of stuff to get to, but before I do anything, because I know sometimes we run out of time, and I just want to make sure that we cover it and don't neglect it, you have a virtual defense day coming up this week, right?
That's right. It'll be this coming Thursday. I would ask folks to go to gaetz.house.gov to sign up, where you can watch on social media, on YouTube. There are some specific things going on at Whiting Field regarding the helicopter flight mission and some collaboration with the defense contractor Leonardo. They're going to be making major capital investment at Whiting. They're going to be doing a lot of local hiring, and this is because we are moving away from the TH-57 training platform to a totally new way in the digital era for our helicopter pilots to get excellent training, to be on better equipment, and also to have a huge boost to the local economy. This makes Santa Rosa County more resilient against any efforts to take away that helicopter training. You know, the Army is always kind of looking at that and trying to resorb as much of it as they can at Fort Rucker, but this is a huge win for us. So on Thursday, it'll be around 2 p.m., but you can sign up before at gaetz.house.gov to be on the front edge of the information flow for the new capital investment coming to Whiting.
All right, very good. And actually, that leads me to another thing that I kind of have been wanting to ask you about. It's not news necessarily, but with the Democrat resurgence in the House and some other matters, including your perspective on wars and drawdowns and the NDAA, it had been, I guess, a little bit of an uncertainty in my mind anyway, whether you'd be back on armed services. Are you on armed services? Are you on judiciary? What'd you get as committee assignments?
I am. I held both my committee assignments despite the Democrat hold on the Congress. What's really important is there's a new subcommittee in Armed Services on cyber, and because every major cyber warfare warrior in the Navy is going to come through Corey at one point or another, every major cyber warrior in the Air Force is going to go through Hurlburt at one point or another. This allows us to make sure that we're enhancing Northwest Florida's contribution to that part of the fight.
And you're on the subcommittee?
Yes.
Oh,
yes,
perfect.
I made it onto that one as well.
Outstanding. Obviously, since last you and I talked, we've had the impeachment. We've had a lot of stuff happen. I haven't really had a chance to get your reaction. I mean, I don't think the impeachment went exactly the way anybody predicted, except in the broad strokes. But we're now having an investigation after the fact into what happened at the Capitol riot and prior to that. So your reaction to the impeachment proceedings and then this commission to investigate the riot?
Well, I don't like when Washington focuses on the past. I think we've got to actually, carve out a future for our country that's better and brighter. And it seems as though the focus on impeachment and censure and investigation is just a way to keep the focus on President Trump. There is a new person that Speaker Pelosi has appointed to run that investigation. It's General Honoré. And I'm very concerned that she picked someone to lead an investigation who seems to have already reached his conclusions. General Honoré has said publicly that Senator Josh Hawley should be disbarred for raising objections and seeking a debate. He said that Congresswoman Lauren Boebert should be unable to fly on commercial aircraft, though she's not been proven to have done anything wrong connected with January 6th. And someone making those incendiary statements seemingly before any of that investigative work is done would not be in a position to render any type of fair judgment. It's my expectation that this is being done to set up criminal referrals. And it's also in line with the comments of Minority Leader McConnell in the Senate, who I believe made comments about criminal process and civil process to greenlight actions against President Trump, his family, his supporters following January 6th. So I don't think that's helpful for the country. I don't think that this continued occupation of Washington, D.C. by the National Guard is necessary. I think we need to get to the business of living our wonderful free lives as Americans.
So, I mean, just to follow up, so you're actually thinking that McConnell might be on board with allowing or encouraging criminal prosecution, not only the former president, but other people, including members of Congress or family members of the president?
I do believe that. I think that was the purpose of McConnell's statement. McConnell didn't go out there and say, well, you know, Trump hasn't gotten away with it. People haven't gotten away with it. There's still criminal process. He didn't go out there to pontificate for the sake of pontificating. He did that to provide air cover to the Biden Justice Department to hunt MAGA.
Wow. Well, let's hope you're wrong, but, you know, hope is not a plausible defense. One of the things I wanted to also ask you about, we're talking to Matt Gaetz, who is our congressman from Northwest Florida, District 1. Obviously, there are major changes afoot. Pretty much, it feels like everything Trump did, Biden is in his very first few days working to unspool, whether it's the wall or Paris, the climate accord or Iran or, you know, the XL Keystone pipeline or whatever. That's one I particularly wanted to ask you about. I know a lot of people are worried that the price of energy is going to be going up substantially, especially gasoline. I mean, what do you think is the practical consequence of the things the Biden administration is doing in the energy sector for people like me who drive? You know, what's it going to mean to me in the end?
Well, I mean, the price of energy is going to go up. And, you know, we remember when gas was, you know, getting close to $4 a gallon. You know, during parts of the Obama administration, and that put a real squeeze on families that had to move around and that rely on that as a part of the family budgeting process. So I'm very worried that the price at the pump is going up. I am also worried that global energy markets are going to be impacted by the U.S. doing more to encourage and engage in global conflict. The U.S.-backed convoys are rolling back into Syria. I don't know what we're trying to win in Syria. I look at Syria as a powder keg that could erupt and not only harm our fellow Americans who are in the fight, but also really impact those global energy markets. And, you know, you mentioned at the border, President Trump got 400 miles of wall built. That'll help well beyond his presidency. But more of the money that we had allocated for border security, Joe Biden is turning into welcome centers. I mean, they are essentially inviting caravans to come across our border because they've reinstituted catch and release. See, the reason we went from 60,000 people a month coming across our border illegally to a slow trickle is that President Trump made them await their asylum claims in their home country or in Mexico or in a safe third country, not in our country. Joe Biden is reversing that policy. And the devastating consequence is that if you tell people, if they show up at our border with a little baby, with a child, then they will, you know, whether those kids are their own or whether they're bought or rented or stolen. And that humanitarian crisis is one that I don't think a single American wants to see play out again. But unfortunately, it's ever the more likely as a consequence of these changes in policy.
Yeah, I mean, if the goal was to decrease illegal immigration, it worked. And if the goal is to...
Oh, we did that.
I mean, and if the goal is to reinvigorate illegal immigration, well, that appears to be what we're doing now as well. We're talking to Matt Gaetz. He is our congressman for Northwest Florida District 1. You know, as I see what Joe Biden is doing, what President Biden is doing on so many fronts, I'm reluctant to give in to worst-case scenario thinking because, you know, I just tend to not want to believe that kind of stuff. But I look at something like this crazy proposed gun registration bill. Everybody's going to have to disclose the weapons they own. You're going to have to go through psychological counseling to get a permit that everybody will have to have. And, you know, you won't be able to have 50 caliber. I mean, just the whole I look at that and think, oh, that's crazy. That'll never pass Congress. What do you think?
I think that our Second Amendment rights are in peril with Democrats holding full control of the government. I am concerned that these gun control measures are going to get a hearing, are going to get votes, and, you know, could end up on the desk of President Biden. I don't believe that that's far-fetched. I think it's something they've wanted to do for quite some time, and I think you're right. The practical impact of this type of a registration scheme is to create some stigma around gun ownership. That's really the objective, whether it's a stigma that could affect you at work or, you know, as a parent volunteer or in a custody dispute. The lists are endless, but it's very dangerous to try to condition rights. You know, rights are rights because they belong to you. They're not subject to, you know, some other you know, a modification that impacts other aspects of life. So I'll oppose those gun registry efforts. I think that registration is sort of step one to other more damaging things that could come.
You know, last question I want to ask you, and feel free to disagree with me about this. We've been talking about it all morning, and so far got most every elected official has weighed in one way or the other and disagree with me. But concerning the Department of Transportation in Florida, I know that's not your purview anymore, but you served a long time in the legislature, and you're certainly, you know, well-connected with the governor's office as well. There's a perception that FDOT is not responsive. Everything's over budget, after time, and under quality. Of course, we're enjoying or suffering from our unique problems right now with the bridge and US 29 and 9 Mile and so forth. I've proposed the idea that maybe that should be an elected position, that the Secretary of Transportation should be statewide elected and accountable, maybe even every 2 years. Since you used to be in the Florida legislature, any thought on that?
Well, I do think it's weird what we choose to elect and not elect in Florida. Like, why do we not have an elected commissioner of education, but we do have an elected commissioner of agriculture?
Great.
How come most states have an elected secretary of state, which is about elections, and we literally appoint the person that oversees the elections rather than electing them? So I'll concede that that is a little bizarre in our state. We might need to look at what we elect and what we don't. But I want a secretary of transportation who's a very effective engineer. And with all due respect to my engineer friends, sometimes the best, most strategic and effective engineers don't always make the best politicians. You also want to make sure you have a Secretary of Transportation who is exactly in line with the governor's thinking. If they become separate elected officials with their own political agency, that could create tension. You know, I've been in state government. If we could run every aspect of state government the way we ran the Department of Transportation, we'd probably be more efficient. When I was there, there were often times where we had extra money from projects that was saved. Frankly, it was a bunch of that extra money that was allocated in Central and South Florida that my dad, Senator Don Gates, scooped up and applied toward the Pensacola Bay Bridge so that wouldn't be a toll bridge initially. So I do think that there are some benefits to our current system. I think the governor is ultimately accountable for the transportation projects in the state. And I think that it's not the means of selecting that person. It's probably just, riding them hard like we would any good government employee to make sure they're doing their best job.
Very good. Well, that's what I wanted to ask you. I knew you'd have an interesting answer, and I appreciate that. I don't mind being wrong about an idea. I like to discuss it and find out what the right side is. Matt Gaetz, who is our congressman for Northwest Florida District 1. Congressman, thanks so much for the time. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right. Always a pleasure, Andrew. Thank you.